So you were saying that you were trained right on the job, and you felt like you could, that once shown the work that you could do it? I mean, was there ever any fear in your mind that you might not?
Well, let's put it this way, that our work was checked quite frequently when we first started. They were looking over our shoulders to be sure we were doing the work satisfactorily. Mm-hmm. And then in time, as we became more efficient, actually the work was not that hard once we got onto it and we knew the pattern. We were able to do it pretty much on our own.
Mm-hmm. Did you work with a bucker?
Now, what's that?
A person who would, say, be on the other side and work with a partner in your riveting?
No, I wasn't. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. So you're the kind of riveting you're doing, you did pretty much on your own?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And at first you said that they looked over your shoulders, but over time did you eventually end up working pretty much on your
yes.
own?
Yes. We could go in and be assigned our work more or less for that particular shift, mm-hmm. and then if they wanted us to change, they would assign maybe a different section, maybe in the plant even. We moved around in the plant depending on the stage of work that the planes were at that time, or a wing section was at that time, we'll say.
So you didn't only say work on that part. Sometimes you'd be
yes.
on another part.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did that happen? That happened later on, or
no? You know, you start in with apparently, if I remember correctly, they'd have a whole series of planes. Say, mm-hmm. we'll say wings, and maybe that's what the wings, independent of the plane, that is by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then, depending on how the work went along, then maybe. For all I know, maybe it was a more advanced type of work that had to be done, maybe a different group, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they would tell us where to work and what to do.
Mm-hmm. Say in the section that you started out working with this first leadman, what was the work area like? How many people were working?
Well, the wings were large,
mm-hmm.
and they occupied a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't work that close to anybody else, really.
Mm-hmm.
The lead man, I think, inspected continually in the work area.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'd be working on one part of a plane, and maybe another person would be working on another part, but a little distance away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And then not very far would be maybe another section of a plane, with two or three people working on that.
Mm-hmm.
So my main memory is of a large building, open, drafty, cold, with fluorescent lights, and then with the riveting and some welding, always the flashes of light from the different tools that people were using.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you looked around, there was that look of intense concentration of people at their job.
Mm-hmm.
And then when a bell rang, you straightened up, and then you went for either a coffee break or to the restroom or something like that.
So was a lot of your work done bent over? Or?
Yes, mm-hmm. I think so,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Was it physically hard work?
No, but it was, you were in a strained position sometimes, and just mm-hmm. kind of stiff. You couldn't really move around very much because you had to concentrate on your work. And it was a no-no to ruin a rivet, to make a hole maybe that was too large and had to be reinforced.
Mm-hmm.
That was not. And you're very careful not to do that.
Did you feel working there as a woman, from what you're telling me, I take it that a leadman is, how many people would be supervised, say, from
well, that? I don't know exactly how many. Oh, his name was Joe.
Joe. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people Joe had, but maybe he worked in a with several parts of a plane within a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
And he did have a certain group of people that were assigned to him.
Mm-hmm.
They were his people.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there were, as I say, about three of we women, and the rest were men.
Mm-hmm. And so you'd all be working over, was it those first days, did you feel self-conscious about your work at all? Or?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, very.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to prove that I could do the work and hope that I could, because I needed the income so desperately.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I became more proficient, I lost that sense of strain, and then probably at that time I began being a little more curious about the surroundings and the other people in the plant.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to know many of the other people?
The men, no. The women, I knew all of them, everybody, mm-hmm. in this particular group.
You're saying you all started out on bench seats?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And you were saying you all ate lunch together?
Yes, ate together, although at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Depend on which group you were with.
Mm-hmm.
And we all had our special girlfriend that we liked to eat with, and maybe two.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what people would talk about or how other women were feeling about their jobs at the time?
No, I don't. The mothers, there was concern about their children. Because women just had never worked at that time like we were, not in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Now in other parts of the country, of course, but not here.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly not in Navy housing.
Mm-hmm.
The wives didn't work. Mm-hmm. They stayed home to care of their children. And so it was a brand new experience for them. And I'm sure a lot of them were concerned about their kids. Now, to me it was just such a new world. Working with the prospect of earning some income, and finally I began to think about maybe some clothes, and then it was a very busy time working, maintaining the apartment, keeping up correspondence with family, and this kind of exploring my own feelings. There was an independence that I had that I had never dreamed possible.
Mm-hmm.
And to me it was a good time. It was a way to be busy, and yet it was a productive area too.
Mm-hmm. When you said feeling independent, can you tell me more about that? Like what, in what ways were you feeling more?
Okay. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but when I was a child, during the Depression, there was a man in the area who had retired from the post office department.
Mm-hmm.
And he was our neighbor. And we were having a desperate time, our family.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the magnificent sum of $100 a month, a pension that he'd earned in civil service.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fine. They had a car, the kids were well dressed, there was no problem with food, they owned their home. And I can remember, I was about 16, and I can remember that early. Somehow in the back of my mind was the thought of income, because I resented so bitterly not having enough when I was that age.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had no pretty clothes. It was dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in the back of my mind thinking then, even that, gee, to be in civil service and to someday have a pension, how marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
So all in the back of my mind was, oh, it wasn't really a projected thought, but it was there, always in my subconscious, about having enough someday.
Mm-hmm.
And so probably, just working at Lockheed,
mm-hmm.
my very first income, I could see, I just couldn't imagine myself ever not working,
mm-hmm.
and having my own income, and I didn't think about that retirement right then. But I had income, I had checks coming in, I had money to spend that I'd never had in my life before.
Mm-hmm. So this is you had really moved into, you still got your pension from the...
Yes. I was affluent.
Uh-huh.
I was really affluent. In a way, I never dreamed possible.
How did that feel?
Lovely.
Uh-huh.
It gave me a sense of strength. And amazing independence, not having to depend on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
There were other women who resented every day they worked because of children. They just didn't like it. They wanted nothing to do with it. And so every day that they went to work was a chore, and eventually they became complainers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them accepted it.
But very few felt like I did. I liked it, and I was willing to work as hard as I had to mm-hmm. for that paycheck.
Mm-hmm. When you went into work there, did you ever have any ideas that you could make your living from that point on as a working aircraft?
No, mm-hmm. no. I just had no idea how long it would last. And the thing that finally happened was that the shipyard had opened up on mm-hmm. Terminal Island. And several of the girls had quit work at Lockheed and gone over to the shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally sensed that was the direction to go, because in the first place it was about, exactly 4 miles and 6 tenths from where I lived in Navy House into the shipyard door.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving 16 miles to and from Lockheed
mm-hmm.
on a graveyard ship.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I was a Navy widow, so I had a 10-point preference
mm-hmm.
on going into work in the shipyard. So I transferred, and it was 18 months after I started Lockheed that I made my transfer. And I had difficulty. I had to receive almost like dispensation from the Pope, because in those days you did not just terminate a defense job and go into another one.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have approval,
mm-hmm.
of which I did obtain. So then I started working in the Navy shipyard, and that also was 95 cents an hour, and much closer to home, and it was civil service.
Mm-hmm. Back at Lockheed, what did you start out at?
How much did I start earning?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I'm sure that I received a little, probably we received increases, maybe 10 cents an hour, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was about 95 cents an hour. It was considered really quite good.
Uh-huh. So when it did seem like high pay to you guys?
Oh, yes. The checks were lovely.
Mm-hmm. And was there a regular increase system, or were they...
Well, I was there 18 months, and I really have no memory, but it seems to me that every 6 months there was some small increment,
mm-hmm.
some addition in our pay, an
mm-hmm.
increase.
Were you ever given any other, outside of when you changed to work for the CQ firm, did you ever have a different title or anything? I mean, did they give you a regular promotion from Houston, or?
No, there was no promotion.
Mm-hmm.
The big break was I was off the riveting guns and off the production
mm-hmm.
and into an office, and that was my very first office job.
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was an office.
Mm-hmm. So the work with the when you were doing the work on the riveting, what was your on the day you worked day shift and swing shift with that?
A day, yes, a 6 month day,
uh-huh.
6 months. Thing,
mm-hmm.
and then when I went into the office, it was graveyard.
Okay.
And there was an increase because it was in graveyard, and that's one reason that I took it.
Uh-huh.
It was more money.
But you didn't do riveting on graveyard?
No, I was in the
mm-hmm.
office.
When you're working in the first day shift, and then switched to the swing, is there any pay change there?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
And probably that's why I made the change.
Mm-hmm. Did you volunteer to make that change, or did they just...
It might have been suggested. I think in retrospect I was considered to be a pretty good employee. And
mm-hmm.
But again, it was through Rose who got the car for me.
Mm-hmm.
And she always said that I think Rose liked me, and she kept her eye on me a little bit, and she's the one that approached me with these different, any sort of an adjustment that would be better for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it came from Rose.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that she's the one that offered me the job in the office.
Mm-hmm. So, when you worked at Friendship, did you then end up working with a whole different set of people? Or?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I really have no memory, except I know that I didn't have Joe anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody else.
Did other women work on shift?
Yes, because I think several of us changed. It was easier for the women. Oh, I don't remember, but I know that there were I think the same group of women that we were riding, that we rode in the car for, I think there were six of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all came to the graveyard, or to the swing set.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went on graveyard, they stayed with swing.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was because of something about the childcare.
Yes,
and the staff, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you ever have people from the management coming through and say timing your work or watching you after that initial period?
They have what they call time and motion studies made.
Mm-hmm.
Things. So I remember them standing, and then they'll tell me, don't worry, just do exactly what you've been doing, you're doing fine, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember when the life photographer came through and took my picture,
mm-hmm.
Riveting.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took another picture of during these meal break on these, it must have been a swing or the graveyard, just because it was very dark outside.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some interruptions like that.
Mm-hmm. Did people ever slow down when the coming of people were there?
I don't know. I wasn't aware of that.
Uh-huh.
I was just aware that they came by me.
Yeah.
We heard that they were coming through the plant.
Uh-huh.
And they were saying, let's do just exactly what you're doing. You're doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know about that.
Were you ever... Did you have to turn out, like when you were doing the work, was there a certain amount of work that you had to have finished by the end of the day?
It seems to me that we were giving kind of like bits and pieces of work that would last us so long, and then we'd be moved to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was because it was, you know, in retrospect, I don't know if it could be an easier type of work that we were assigned or that I was assigned. But it seems to me that there was always sort of a change. Work on one part of a plane, and then either be changed to another wing of a plane or a different portion of the plane that I was on.
Mm-hmm. So the work pace is basically pretty much the same?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that had I stayed with it for much longer, I might have begun to get bored. But up to the time I made my change, it was filled with a new world. It was still receiving a paycheck, and I just couldn't believe that it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on the swing set and had to become adjusted to that different tone of difference.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little bit more money, and maybe I was becoming a little more relaxed in the plant, I'm not sure. And then, when I went to the office, that was a new change.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to the shipyard, that was a whole new different way.
Mm-hmm. When you were working in the riveting, was it anything, I've heard other people say that it was really noisy.
Oh, it was very noisy.
Uh-huh.
And then the lights, the lights were so bright.
Uh-huh.
And then the flashing lights from different pieces of equipment that were being used.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, way in the background, the shadows, and mm-hmm. people walking in the shadows, it's sort of an eerie, mm-hmm. Eerie atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
No music. And then a fair amount of music was over, sort of a bullhorn mm-hmm. into the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a whole, if I hadn't been young, I think some of the older women were bothered.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't adjust well.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothered them terribly to stand so long. Their feet hurt. And they were the ones you'd see lying down in the rest area.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there was some criticism made of the women that couldn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I was young and very agile and eager and excited.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just took it completely in stride.
Were you able to, in your work area, and actually the noise, did they do what they did this time?
No. Mm. And there's nothing louder than the riveting guns. Just, so many.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice anything with your hearing at all? You know, that any changes in it?
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you free to walk around and talk to people?
No. You see, you know, I mean, that's why when you, I think you were assigned a certain, what's it, almost like an amount of weight, or a section, let's say, and the fully expected that would be completed perhaps by the end of the shift,
mm-hmm.
or at a certain time.
Mm-hmm. So you, people couldn't make it easy for intensive intensive time
for yes.
them, but is that throughout the full 8 hours?
Yes, we had our dates, not to set up by the main plant,
mm-hmm.
and being women, I'm sure we had different, I might say, breaks than the men did, maybe more frequent.
Mm-hmm.
So we were working with a totally unknown concept,
mm-hmm.
women in their factories,
mm-hmm.
In their defense factories.
Mm-hmm. Did, was there ever, did you feel any, like getting around with women, did you ever feel that in all the way you felt?
I didn't, because I was so gung-ho on what I was doing, but I doing the rules and trying to please, and, I personally wasn't aware of anybody being particularly paid not much attention to me.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, I was very personally speaking, and I was always like this during my whole working career, around men,
mm-hmm.
being completely businesslike, making no overtures other than the job practical, and unless I really came to know a person quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Being very aware that these men were married men, they had a lifetime, and I was not going to be treated lightly by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I demanded respect, but I acted in a such a manner, that's all I got with respect.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, as time went on, some people came to like me.
Mm-hmm.
They talked a little bit under the surface, found out a little bit about me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was all right.
Mm-hmm.
But I never, in the plant, I don't think that any of the widows, not to themselves, in the extent somebody paying attention, but they didn't mention it to see.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of them were quite young. I would say most of them, under 30,
mm-hmm.
most of them. But I didn't see anything that I ever disapproved of in that absence of the women.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a different world than it was really.
Mm-hmm. When you went to work there, you said you started out just being a small group of women.
Yes.
And you left a year and a half later. Did
yes.
you see changes in that particular plant in terms of the number of women working?
I don't know. I know that Lockheed was hiring more women.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are that at this particular plant, which was a small one,
mm-hmm.
they had their capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And the proportion of male and female employees
mm-hmm.
that was built in.
Mm-hmm.
And I doubt very much to see it's up to them. They still had, I think, enough men. Later on, there were shortages of men with jackies and so on.
Mm-hmm.
More and more than, of course, went to work in industry.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular plant, see, I left there in June 43.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think too many more than I'm seeing.
So it's safe for these
people? Yes, pretty stable.
Did you ever see any minority women?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Did you ever hear anything in terms of people who are migrants from the Midwest? If they get
No. No. Not sure.
Okay. So, did it seem to be that the people who had worked there had worked there a long time?
Well, I think what happened is that when they opened up that Lockheed Plant 4, that they sent a nucleus from the main plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that they were select men or anything like that, but it was a group that was, they were already, and yet I don't think that plant had been in operation very long when they started working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
Did they name seem to be, some of them as near their jobs as you?
Oh, no, I'm sure they were all very experienced men that had been transferred into this camp
mm-hmm.
from other camps.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talked before about having birth, and were there, like, machines and things on to go to, for, say, biochemical work on a birth?
No, no, we had to go out of the building, on the lunch stage,
mm-hmm.
and they had these cups that came up with the food that was the soap.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't dispensed in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was outside, it was cold. I remember that so mm-hmm. I think the last day it was in February.
Was there any hot food there?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe probably sandwiches and potato chips and
mm-hmm.
hot coffee, of course.
Mm-hmm. When you, on the boat, did you just like walk outside then?
Yes, in a caged area that was a fenced area,
mm-hmm.
and there were benches.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, you didn't eat in the building.
Mm-hmm.
You ate outside in this one area where, see, I don't know if there was any fear of, what would you call it, anybody damaging any equipment. And I don't know if it was for that reason we all ate outside.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't eat in the building.
In like a Sabbath house?
Yeah, I don't think it's that. There was any,
mm-hmm.
But everybody seemed to know where everybody was all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There was no reason to get an idea of this area into another one, for
mm-hmm.
example.
Mm-hmm.
You either stayed in this area, you went to the restroom on a boat,
mm-hmm.
came back to your work area,
mm-hmm.
and then on the last day you went outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had one time period during your shift when you went to the office to pick up soup coupons or lasting coupons or pizza.
Uh-huh. So, did people talk at all about sabotage?
No.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I understood that I haven't even thought about it before is I can remember how we were more or less corralled. Everybody knew where everybody was, it seems to me.
Mm-hmm.
We had no reason to enter except in the advice of the
state. Mm-hmm. If a family wanted to do anything, you wanted to do whatever, I mean, would they or Lincoln, how did that look? How did each individual person get paid?
No, you didn't have to work with you, and you came home at the beginning of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
You were told where you would work.
Is that everyone in a group, or
yes, let's say that Joe had 25 people.
Uh-huh.
Or, a few more or less. Now, if you have blood contact with those people, you get them in the air to do them if you have any problems.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of the trip, you're assigned your work, and if you don't quite finish on the previous trip, you went back to and then you resumed it until it was finished.
Uh-huh.
And then Joe either line up quickly to do next, or either stood by and told him by and told him.
I see. So you got all of your directions in terms of what you
need to do? Yes. Everything comes out.
Uh-huh. Were there any times that you needed besides yourself to still do something? Or?
No.
Uh-huh.
No.
Is that sort of
sound? Well, the thing is that, no, it wasn't that, but you had to be so certain that what you did was the thing to do.
Yeah. Did you mentioned before that the first trip was really doing standing on the floor and then you just only up and you had to crawl up?
Yeah, up maybe into the body of the plane
mm-hmm.
and maybe around a window when that was in liberty.
Did that like been up on scaffolding?
No, you would climb a kind of a ladder
mm-hmm.
that you climbed up into the body of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I said, you might put ribbon around the window, or around the seat,
mm-hmm.
or attach a piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very exact, it was very precise, it was very detailed, it was just exactly what you were doing.
Did you ever have to do it in real time?
No, I didn't. You
were just telling me about the
employee. You were telling me about them on the phone, you were demonstrating,
mm-hmm.
then perhaps watching for a moment or two,
mm-hmm.
and then go about them and back with me. So you see these planes, after they were completed,
mm-hmm.
They were inspected,
mm-hmm.
and the pilots, ladies,
mm-hmm.
and it had to be very exact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the minimum of error, absolutely minimum.
Did people have a say so?
Yes, yeah. I'm sure they did.
Mm-hmm. Did, do you ever see any of the injuries?